I fell in love with a young, beautiful Christian girl named Julie. We lived about 2 miles from each other, and we were able to see each other a lot, pretty much every day as I dated Julie. But then a church way out in the desert called Trinity Baptist Indio hired me to be their youth pastor, and I moved 100 miles away. And suddenly, Julie and I went from seeing each other every day to seeing each other about once a week. I wanted to see her every day. In fact, I wanted to live with her. I wanted her to move in with me. I wanted us to share our lives together. I did not like the new arrangement. But I wanted to do things God's way. And I realized that if I wanted to do things God's way, that there was only one way to have the kind of relationship with Julie that I wanted to have. And the only way to do it was through marriage. And so, I made my choice. I made my choice. And on February 3rd, 1996, I married Julie. And I am so, so very glad that I did. It is the second most important relationship in my life. But there was only one way that I could have the relationship that I wanted with Julie. It's the second most important relationship I've ever had in my life. It's the second most important relationship I have. But there's one relationship that's even more important. There's one relationship that I wanted much, much, much more than that. I wanted a relationship with God. Not just a friendship. I didn't want to just know Him. I wanted to be a child of God. I wanted to be in His family. I wanted Him to be my father. And just like my relationship with Julie, there was only one way to get it. Only one. This morning, it is my privilege to tell you the only way to have a relationship with God. Will you please open your Bibles to John 14 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Will you pray with me, please? Would you please take a few moments to pray right now? That God would help you understand exactly the message that He wants you to understand from John 14:6. Not the message that Dave wants you to understand. The message that God gave the Apostle John. Would you please pray for the person next to you, perhaps to your left, to your right, in front of you, or behind you, that they would truly understand what John, through the Holy Spirit, was trying to say in verse 6. And now would you pray for me, that I would preach the message that God has given me. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you and be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Jesus says something very, very, very important here. He says, no one can come to the Father except through me. No one can go to heaven except through Jesus. That's exactly what he's saying in this verse. If you want to have a relationship with God, there is only one way to get it. You must come through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Now the question is, why? Why is that true? Maybe you're struggling with that idea. I doubt very much that the message today surprises you. I stand here and I say Jesus is the only way to heaven. I don't think anyone here is going, I can't believe he said that. I think you're expecting me to say that. But the question is, why? In a group this size, some of you may actually be struggling with that in your private thoughts. You may be saying, why is Jesus the only way? Because all of my friends, my family members, what I read, what I see on the internet, everybody says there's Jesus and there's this guy and this guy and this guy and this system. And everybody's basically teaching the same thing. Be a good citizen, love one another, love your enemies, worship God, pray. Everybody's basically teaching the same path, and I think there might be something to that. In a group this size, maybe some of you in your private thoughts are saying, why is it that Jesus is the only way? Well, Jesus says he's the only way. And it's my goal this morning to answer the question, why? You should have sermon notes in the bulletin that you got when you came in. And the question we're asking on this beautiful Easter morning is, why is Jesus the only way? Number one, only Jesus is the source and giver of life. Only Jesus is the source and giver of life. You've already opened your Bibles to the book of John, hopefully. Put a bookmark in there like I'm doing and go to the very beginning of the book. John chapter 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Jesus Christ. If you doubt that, read the whole chapter. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We're still talking about Jesus. Look at verse 3. All things came into being through Him, Jesus. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus is the life. He is life. Jesus Christ is the source of life. Physical life and spiritual life. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. Physical life and spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, there is no life of any kind without Jesus. Of any kind. When you use something electric, you need a source of electricity. You need a battery. You need to plug it in. You need something like that. The light over here, the lights above me, are all wired or connected to a power source. And if you want the light to come on, you have to be connected to the power source. And the reason Jesus is the only way to heaven is if you want spiritual life, you must be connected to the source. And Jesus, and only Jesus, is the source of life. John chapter 5, 26 is behind me on the screen. And Jesus says this, "For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son to have life in himself." The famous John 3, 16 behind me on the screen. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 20, 31. "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Number two, why is Jesus the only way to heaven? Number two, only the teaching of Jesus Christ will lead us to eternal life. Only the teaching of Jesus Christ will lead us to eternal life. This is really important because there are thousands of spiritual books that you can get. Thousands. I met someone on an airplane who was committed to another religion. She was very committed to that other religion. And I said, "Have you ever met Jesus Christ?" "Oh yes, he's wonderful. He's so wonderful. We love Jesus in our religion." "Have you ever read anything about Jesus Christ?" "Oh, I actually haven't." I said, "Well, I happen to have a Bible here with me. Would you like to read something that Jesus says?" "Oh, that would be great." And I opened up John chapter 3, and I said, "Here, read this. This is what Jesus says." And she read John chapter 3, and she said, "Oh, that's great. I'll stick that into my file amongst all these under hundreds of wonderful religious teachings, and I'll kind of include that in my whole belief system." That will not work. Only the teaching of Jesus will lead you to eternal life. The apostles came to that conclusion. Look at John 6 behind me on the screen. John 6, 66 through 68. "As a result of this, as a result of Jesus's hard teaching, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him." Jesus had taught something that was pretty hard to swallow, and a lot of people said, "I can't hang with that teaching," and they walked away. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away also, do you?" And Peter says something awesome. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Simon Peter realized, if I leave you, there's nowhere else to turn. Because only Jesus has the teaching that will lead to life. Number three in your notes. This is extremely important. Jesus is the only one that can die for your sins. No one else is qualified to do that. No one else is qualified to do that. Not Gandhi, not Joseph Smith, not the Dalai Lama, not the Pope. No one. Jesus is the only one that can die for your sins. Hebrews 7:26 is behind me on the screen. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest." It's talking about Jesus. If you doubt me, please read all of Hebrews 7. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. This is really important. If I wanted to, I could not die for your sins. I love you very, very, very much. I am your pastor. It is a position that I take very seriously that I do not deserve. I am committed to seeing you safely home. But if I wanted to die for your sins, I can't do it. And there's a very important reason why, and that reason is this. If David Gordon gets on the cross and dies for sins, I'm only paying for my own. I can't pay for yours because I have my own. The high priests had to offer sin, had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins. Jesus is the only person ever to live that never sinned. That's not true of any other religious leader. That's not true of the Dalai Lama. That's not true of anyone. That's not true of the Pope. Only Jesus is sinless. Therefore, only Jesus can die for sins. Number four in your notes. Jesus is the only one that did die for our sins. Jesus is the only one that can die for our sins, and Jesus is the only one that did die for our sins. This one verse that I'm going to show you should convince you why you have to have Jesus, why no other religious leader is good enough. Look behind me on the screen at this incredibly powerful verse. This is Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. We have all sinned, every single one of us, including and especially me, simply following good religious teaching is not good enough. I cannot simply pick one or two of the best religious leaders or systems and simply follow their teachings of love and peace. It is not good enough because I'm a sinner. Because I am guilty. Because no matter how well I follow the religious teachings of a religious leader, I will sin a lot every single day. I'm guilty before a holy God. And no matter how good I live my life, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Christ shed his blood for that very purpose. And he is the only one that has ever done it. And he's the only one that ever will. Hebrews 10:11. Behind me on the screen. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Please look very carefully at that and listen to me very closely. No religious leader of any kind can do or say anything at all ever to forgive your sins. But he, that is Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. We'll get to that later. Waiting for that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Praise his holy name. Only Christ can take your punishment, and only Christ did. Christ and Christ only stood in your place to take your punishment. And only Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We'll get to that later. Number five. Only Jesus rose from the dead. This is very important. Only Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, only Jesus has the power and authority to grant eternal life. Doesn't that make sense? Only Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, only Jesus has the power and authority to grant eternal life. John 11, 25 and 26, behind me on the screen, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" No other religious leader can make that claim. If they do, it's not true. You're in John chapter 1 or John chapter 14. Keep a bookmark in John 14 and come with me to John 6. John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet not believe, yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Praise God for that. Amen. 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Isn't that awesome? Jesus is your pastor. And if you trust in him, he will get you safely home. Jesus defeated death. Jesus beat death. He was killed and rose from the dead, and he will give eternal life to all who trust in him. No one else can say that. No one else can do that, because no other religious leader defeated death. There is no religious prophet or teacher that has the power to give you eternal life. Only Jesus can. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is behind me on the screen. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his own works." Not according to our works, certainly according to his works. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Only Jesus did that. If you attend Trinity Baptist regularly, you hopefully know what I'm going to say. What are these? These are keys. These are keys. On here is the key to my car. This is the key to my truck. There's various other keys on here. I have these keys, and what it says is that I have the authority over those vehicles. Those vehicles are mine because I have the keys. Who gets in my car? Who drives my car? Who rides in my car? Where does my car go? Where does it park? Where does it drive? It's all on me. I'm in charge because I hold the keys. Look what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, behind me on the screen. "When I saw him," this is John talking about the risen Christ, "when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he," that's Jesus, "placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades.'" Jesus is the only one that has the keys to death and Hades. He has authority over death. He conquered death. He defeated death. Jesus is Lord of everything. And everyone, even death, he has authority over death and what happens after death. Jesus has authority of what happens to you after death. He is in charge. And by rising from the dead, Jesus guaranteed eternal life to all of his followers. Number 6 in your notes. Only Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand as our advocate. Only Jesus is seated at the Father's right side as our advocate. Romans 8:34 is behind me on the screen. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. This is very important. The right hand or right side of God is the position of highest honor and authority in the universe. Jesus has taken his rightful place at the right hand of the Father as Lord of the universe. And this is extremely important. He is the only one there. There are not 4 or 5 different positions. There is one seat at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus is there, and he is the only one that sits there. What is he doing there? He is interceding for us. Interceding for us. It's the beautiful Greek word entunchano. Should be at the bottom of your notes or the back. Entunchano. And it means to appeal to someone. To petition. It's used in the Bible of people in court making a case. Christ is our high priest. He is our advocate before the Father. Brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. This is why I love that song, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea." When Satan tempts me to despair and reminds me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because my sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. When I'm reminded of my own sin, and there's plenty to be reminded of, I know that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand, making his case for me. Brothers and sisters, no one can possibly accuse you before God. No one can possibly condemn you before God, because Jesus Christ, who died for us, is our representative. He is our advocate. He is in God's presence interceding for us right now, and he is the only one who is. No other religious leader will ever be able to do that. 1 John chapter 2 is behind me on the screen. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So there are the 6 reasons why only Jesus can grant eternal life, and why if you do not have Jesus in your heart, you absolutely, positively, no way will not go to heaven. What does it mean to you? You're at John chapter 6. Turn a couple pages over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, please look at these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're here this morning, and you've read the Bible. You've come to church a few times. Maybe you've read a bunch of religious readings of books of religious leaders, and you've done your best to love and be a good citizen and be a good religious person. Jesus Christ, the only one who has the authority to grant eternal life, says this: unless you are born again, you will not go to heaven. No matter how many good things you do, no matter how many good deeds you have under your belt or in your resume, unless you are born again, you cannot go to heaven. Number 7 in your notes, this is what it means to you. You must be born again to go to heaven. When you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit of Jesus comes into your heart and gives you eternal life. This is not true of any other spiritual leader. Spiritual leaders only give you advice. Jesus gives you life. And he's the only one. John 4:14, behind me on the screen. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him, this is Jesus talking, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Only Jesus can do this. So my question to you on this Easter morning is this: have you been born again? Have you been born again? Michael Tyler, one of our elders here, has this wonderful illustration about what it means to be born again. He talks about the man who was late for work. He's supposed to clock in or punch in at 8 o'clock, let's just say 8 o'clock, and he comes in at 8:30, 8:45, and he's huffing, I'm so sorry, I'm late. And the boss says, you know, I really needed you at 8. This is unacceptable. I'm going to fire you. And he says, No. I got a reason. You got to listen to this. I parked in the employee parking lot, and as I was crossing the street, this bus just came and boom, just ran me over. But it's okay. I'm here now. Is he going to believe him? No, he's not going to believe him. Why? Listen to why. It is impossible to have an encounter with a bus and not be different. That's from Michael. Thank you for that. Please listen to me. This is extremely important. It is impossible to meet Jesus and not be different. This is hard for me to say. You may have prayed a prayer years ago. You may have even been baptized. Are you different? Are you different? Do you love the Bible? Do you love other Christians with a love that causes you to live your life serving them? Do you hate your old sinful ways? Well, let me ask you this. Are they your old ways? Are you different? It is impossible to meet Jesus Christ and not be different. It is impossible to become saved. It is impossible to reach out to Jesus for salvation and have Him come into your heart and you not be a radically, completely different person for the rest of your life. So my question to you on Easter is this: have you been radically changed by the power of the gospel? If you haven't, I don't care what prayer you prayed, please come talk to an elder. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we serve a risen Savior. And we rejoice. We rejoice in our Savior that died for our sins. We rejoice in our Savior that is at your right hand right now, Heavenly Father. And we pray to you right now. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to look to your right at our advocate, Jesus Christ. And we come to you right now, Heavenly Father, not because of any righteous deeds we have done, not because of any righteousness we have in ourselves. We come to you beating our breasts. And we say, be glorified in this church. We come to you, Heavenly Father, and we pray for anyone in this auditorium now that is not saved, that you would give them no peace whatsoever in their heart until they fall on their knees and humble themselves and worship you and be saved. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for everyone that is saved in this auditorium, that they would look to you and only you for their salvation, for their sanctification, for their glorification, for everything. We serve a risen Savior. May He have all the credit, all the time. In His name we pray. Amen.